Acts chapter number 17. Acts 17. And we are going to look at a few verses in Acts chapter 17. And then after we read, we're going to get some context. And then we will get into the message. So Acts chapter number 17. Acts 17, look what it says in verse number 16. Before I begin, I also want to thank Pastor for the opportunity for the summer family nights and the emphasis with kids. I hope you kids have enjoyed the games, the singing, the participation. And I also have some questions at the beginning of my message, and I also have some candy. So I'm looking for some participation from the kids. Acts chapter 17, look what it says in verse number 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we can gather. I pray that you would use me as I preach this evening. I pray that you would just remove me out of the way. Allow me to only say what you would want me to say. Thank you for all you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. These past few weeks for our summer family nights, we have been kind of looking at different things that we should be deeply rooted in. You see, when we are rooted in Christ, our lives are not the same. We are different. You see, in the first week of our summer family nights, we talked about how we can be rooted in our salvation. And Brother Jonathan preached on how we can be rooted in our obedience to Christ. And then Brother Josiah last week preached about how we should be rooted in our walk with God, our relationship with Christ. And I find it difficult to be deeply rooted in Christ without wanting to tell someone about it. You see, when we are deeply rooted in these different types of things, it changes our relationship with God. It goes stronger, but also we want to tell someone else about it. We want to tell someone about our relationship with God. You see, last summer, I was interning at Lancaster Baptist Church. I did a lot of different ministries, bus class, teaching Sunday schools, and just kind of getting the behind the scenes of ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I was having a meeting with the other interns, and one of the teachers there got us together, and he asked this question. He asked, "Since you have been saved, who has come to Christ because of you? Since you have been saved, how has been your witness for Christ?" And I started thinking back to, my freshman year of college and up till now, and I started thinking that, you know, I have seen some people come to Christ. But as I was reviewing those past few years, I've discovered some gaps. You see, what I mean is when I would talk to someone about Christ and they would get saved, all of a sudden there was a gap in my life where I didn't see anyone saved. And not because I was sharing the gospel, but more because I wasn't being a very good witness for Christ. And it just had me think about how has been my witness for Christ. And this evening, I would like to ask you that same question. Since you have been saved, whether that's a year ago, months ago, or several years ago, who has come to Christ because of you? In our passage, we understand that Paul was one of the greatest Christians to ever walk on the earth. And he wrote the majority of the New Testament. And we are going to see in this passage how he was a witness for Christ. But before we get in Acts chapter 17, let's backtrack a little bit and figure out what's going on in this passage. You see, in Acts chapter 16, Paul receives a vision. And just like the song that we sang, Send the Light, that fourth verse that goes, we have heard the Macedonian call today. In Acts chapter 16, Paul receives the Macedonia vision. He receives a vision, and there's a man from Macedonia who says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And of course, Paul, he answered this vision, of course, sent from God, and he went to Macedonia, and he preached the gospel. Now, I'm going to have the kids participate with this. I have some candy right here. I have some Snickers, Smarties. I found out after working here a couple of Sundays that the kids love Smarties. So I have some of that as well. But I have some questions, and the question I'm going to ask is from Junior Church this morning. Brother Jonathan taught this morning. So for the first Smarties, who can tell me, as soon as Paul and Silas were preaching in Macedonia, what happened to them? When the people found out they were preaching and they were telling others about Jesus, were they happy or were they upset? I need hands. Yes, Colson. They were upset. Okay, here you go. Now, for the next question, for another Smarties. Oh, you know what? I don't have many of those. Let's do a fruit chew. Okay. Who can tell me they were upset? What did they do to Paul and Silas? Forrest.
They threw them in jail.
There we go. Nice catch. Okay, for another question. Of course, you know, they were thrown in jail. I think I have a Snickers right here. They were thrown in jail. What were they doing while they were in jail? Far back, Tessa.
Praising God.
What?
Praising God.
Praising God. There you go. Oh, that was bad. Bad. I'll work on my throwing. But they were praising God. And then for the final question, let's see, it's you know, Snickers. As soon as they were praising God, what happened in the jail? What happened in the jail? Something happened. Yes, Brenna. There was an earthquake. Okay, I'm going to try it this time. Oh, there we go. Almost there. Okay, there was an earthquake. Now, there was an earthquake. They were praising God and they were singing praises to God. And there was an earthquake. The chains fell off. And we understand that the jailer that was supposed to keep them in that prison, he was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners were gone. But then we understand as we read the story that Paul says, I'm here. And eventually, this jailer gets saved. Now, he moves on from Macedonia after all that takes place. And in the first few verses of chapter 17, he's in Thessalonica. And he's doing the same thing as Paul has always done. He's preaching in the synagogue. He's discussing with people the scriptures. But then there are some who believes, some who mocks, and some who just gets really upset. Jews who were upset with envy. Because at those times, when Paul would preach to the Jews, if they did not receive Christ, he turned to the Gentiles, and they would receive Christ. So that made the Jews very upset. So once he preached, and the Jews in Thessalonica got very upset, they went to one of the Christians' houses. His name is Jason, and they would bother Jason and the Christians there. So because of Paul's safety, they moved him to Berea. And as you continue reading in Acts chapter 17, the same thing happens there. He's preaching, reasoning with them in the scriptures, and the same Jews in Thessalonica, they go over to Berea, and they do the same thing that they were doing in Thessalonica. Okay, stay with me. Just building a foundation here. So in Berea, the same thing is happening. The Jews are upset at Paul, and again, they move Paul, and they take him to a city called Athens. And that is where they tell Paul to just wait there, wait till this kind of calms down, wait till the area is safe again, and then I will bring you back to continue preaching the gospel. So this is where we find Paul. He is in Athens, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, which we just read. And in this passage, we are going to study about how Paul was a witness in this city and how we can apply it to our lives to be a witness for Christ. Very quickly, I want us to notice three observations about how Paul was a witness in this city. Look at verse 16, which we just read. The Bible says, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. First of all, I want you to notice the state of this city. This was a city who was wholly given to idolatry. Now, as I was studying this passage, I found something very interesting. This city, who was known for being wholly given to idolatry, this is the only city that I've studied in the Bible that's described like this. In the New Testament, I studied different cities, but it's only the city of Athens where they are known for being wholly given to idolatry. As Paul was walking around the city, maybe he was walking around the marketplace to purchase some food. Maybe he was just taking a stroll in the evening while he's waiting to head back to Berea or Thessalonica. And he notices this city that was wholly given to idolatry. Now, you may say, now, what is idolatry? Okay, kids, we talked about this as well. I want to give out more candy. So, with a raise of hands, who can tell me what is idolatry? Okay, those who have not answered. Okay, right there. That is a perfect answer. Thank you. Worshiping, that was a terrible thought. Idolatry is worshiping something or putting something above God. And that's what this city was known for. As Paul was walking around the city, he noticed a city that was wholly given to idolatry. Now, Athens was a very special city. This city was known for its wisdom. This city was known for its knowledge. Philosophers like Socrates, Aristotle, these men who were very wise, very knowledgeable. And I find it very interesting that in this passage, they're not described as being wise. They're not described as being knowledgeable. They are known for being wholly given to idolatry. It is said that at the time in Athens, they had over 30,000 gods in the public. And that's not even counting the ones that were in the privacy of their homes. A common phrase at that time was that it was easier to find an image or a false god than a man. And Paul noticed this. And in verse 16, we see that his spirit was stirred for the city. And in verse 23, we see that they also have an inscription that says, "To the unknown God." They worshiped ignorantly. And as Paul started preaching, he notices this. He starts preaching and reasoning with them in the synagogue. We see that these philosophers started talking between themselves, kind of asking, what's Paul preaching? What's this new thing that Paul is preaching? But we see that Paul's spirit was stirred within him because of the state of the city that he was in. Can I ask you this question this evening? When was the last time your heart was stirred for your town or for your city? You see, Paul was not planning to be in Athens. He was not planning to move on from Berea and go straight to Athens. He was just waiting to be picked up. He was just waiting for things to calm down. And because he was in this town, he noticed this city that was wholly given to idolatry. His spirit was stirred within him. It was bothering him. It made him uncomfortable because as a Christian, he saw a city who worshiped false images, false idols, over 30,000 in the public, and he understood that as a Christian, he couldn't just stand there and do nothing. He couldn't just wait there in the city and do nothing. He couldn't just walk by the town. He couldn't just walk through the marketplace and see this city that was given to idolatry and not say something or do something. Let me ask you this. When was the last time your spirit was stirred or your heart was stirred for the unsaved? You see, Paul's spirit was stirred, but it didn't stop there. You see, maybe this evening you may say, you know what? My spirit was stirred. But so many times we are stirred, but we don't do anything about it. We don't say anything. We don't do anything. You see, Paul understood the state of the city. There's no denying that we live in a wicked world. There's no denying that we live in an ungodly, pagan world. There's no denying that. That's the state of our town. That's the state of our country. But the question is, what are we going to do about it? See, Paul's spirit was stirred, which caused him to eventually preach the gospel to them. You see, Paul understood the state of the city, but it didn't stop there. Notice the message of Paul. Look what it says in verse number 24. Just start at verse number 23. "For as I passed by and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." You see what I love about Paul? He just went straight for it. He didn't beat around the bush. He understood the need of the city was that they had false idols, and that's what he preached against. He starts off by saying, look, you have all these other gods, but there is only one God who made the world and all things therein. He doesn't dwell in these temples that you build up for all these other gods. gods. He talked about how there's only one God who created everything and how he is not made or worshipped with man's hands. You know what? He preaches against the idolatry, but then he ends with giving the gospel. Look what it says in verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." As Paul preached against their false idolatry, he tells them that, hey, God's will is that you all would get saved. You see, repent means to basically turn to or from or have a change of mind. See, in order to be saved, you have to realize that you are a sinner. And there is nothing that we can do for our sins. You know, Paul is telling them that even though you have a lot of knowledge, even though you have a lot of wisdom, you're no better than anyone else when it comes to sin. We are all sinners. We talked about that. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It didn't matter how smart they were. It didn't matter how good they were. They were all sinners in need of a Savior. And that's our world today. We see all sorts of things that's going on. And the bottom, we see the fruit of everything, but the root problem is sin. And we are all sinners in need of a Savior. You see, and that's the conclusion that we all have to come to. I was saved when I was 5 years old. Blessed to grow up in a Christian home. My mom, she was teaching me. I was homeschooled. She led me through the gospel, and that's how I got saved. You know, I'm glad that my mom showed me how I can get saved. And each and every one of you had someone who cared for you enough, who loved you enough to tell you about Jesus. And the question I have is, who have I cared enough to tell about Jesus? Now, I understand that at times we have our schedules, we're busy, we have work. But the question I have is when the Holy Spirit provides an opportunity, or when your spirit is stirred to give a friend a gospel track or an invitation to church, have you obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life? This past Saturday in our men's prayer breakfast, we broke down 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse number 10, it talks about, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." You see, the context of that verse is talking about, Peter starts out by talking about how we were in the past, how we were changed, how before we were saved, we were fulfilling the lust of our flesh, how we were not fulfilling the will of the Father. But now that Peter says that now that you have received the gift, the free gift of salvation, you should give it to someone else. Don't just keep this free gift of salvation that someone cared for you enough, that someone loved you enough. Don't just keep it to yourself. Minister it to someone else. The gift that we have received, that God graciously sent his son for and has given us eternal life, someone else needs to know it. It should be given to someone else. Paul didn't waste any time. How are we spending our time with sharing the gospel? Who have you told about the free gift of salvation? You see, Paul, he saw the state of the city, and he preached to them. He didn't waste any time. He saw the state, then he moved on to the message. But lastly, let's notice the response of the city. Look what it says in verse number 32. The Bible says, and we'll go back to 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Verse 32, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." There were people who rejected, who mocked. You see, there will be people who will not accept, but rather reject Christ, and we see that. You see, I find it interesting that they had all these gods. And you would think that once Paul presented the one true God, that they don't have to worry about all these images, about worshiping to gold and silver that can do nothing for them. Instead, Paul showed them about the one true God. But some people said, you know what? I'm fine with my images. I'm fine with having 30,000 plus images in my I'm fine with that. You see, there were people who rejected. When we go out, when we tell others about Jesus, we will find people like that. But praise the Lord, we are not responsible for the results. That's up to God. What we are responsible for is obeying the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our command to Christians, that we should go out and tell others about Jesus. And then, verse number 34. How be it? But certain men clave unto him and believed. You see what I notice about verse 34? If Paul's spirit wasn't stirred, and if he didn't preach the gospel, we don't have verse 34. Yeah. We don't have a verse that says certain men clave unto him and believed. God has given us a command. And it's incredible that not only did Jesus save us, but he chooses to use us. He uses us to see people get saved. And if we do not go tell others about Jesus, then we are acting in direct disobedience to a command given by God. You see, why do we have all this VBS decorating? Why are we spending so much time decorating for VBS? So we can have kids come in, families who have never heard the gospel at all, to hear the gospel and get saved. And even if one child gets saved, maybe if only one mom or one dad gets saved, all the long hours, all the 2 weeks, all the frustration with hanging paper on the wall, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it if someone, whether in a classroom or in a rally or whatever, if just one child puts their faith in Jesus Christ, it'll be worth it. I want you to have you guys turn to Romans 10:13. I'm sure many of you can quote this verse, but I want you to see this. Romans 10:13. I'm going to read verse 13, and I want us all to read verse 14 together. So I'll read verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, verse 14. Here we go. Ready? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, we love quoting verse 13. We can quote it. Many kids, I'm sure many of us can quote it. But so many times we leave out verse 14. Because not only is there a promise that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, they'll say, but how are they going to hear that whosoever calls shall get saved if no one tells them, if no one is a witness for Christ? You see, there are people that God has placed in our paths so that they can hear the good news of the gospel. And they are waiting to hear the truth of the gospel that can set them free. Will you witness to them? Another passage I want to turn you to, Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Verse number 26. The Bible says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So let's see what verse 26 is talking about. Paul is talking about how he is innocent of the blood. Now, to explain that, there's a chapter in Ezekiel. Basically, God tells Ezekiel to warn the children of Israel of the coming judgment. And God tells Ezekiel that I have set you to be a watchman over the children of Israel. A watchman is someone who would be up in the tower. And his sole responsibility was anytime the enemy would come, anytime any danger was coming, he was to warn the city. He was to warn the town. And his job would be gone, or he would be in big trouble if he did not warn the town. So that's the metaphor that God is telling Ezekiel, that I have put you here in this place to warn the town, to warn the children of Israel. And he says that if you do not warn the children of Israel of what is to come, then the blood will be on your hand. So Paul says that I am pure from the blood of all men. Just to be honest with you, I cannot say that. If you ask me right now, tonight, July 2nd, I am not innocent of the blood of men. Because so many opportunities that God has placed in my path, so many opportunities that the Holy Spirit has said, pass out this tract, talk to this person about Jesus. I've either kept walking or say, man, I forgot a track. Next time I'll bring a track. But God has placed so many people in our paths so that we can witness to them. I know personally, I can't say that I've heeded to the Holy Spirit at those times, but I can control today. If the Holy Spirit prompts me today to pass out a track on my way back home or to pass out a track tomorrow, I can control that by heeding to the Holy Spirit. Am I going and are we going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Next time he prompts you, just pass out a track. Invite them to church. And we have a great opportunity coming up. BBS, Plan of Salvation's in the back. You can invite them to come and hear the gospel. Maybe God has someone that you are thinking about right now that needs the gospel. We all needed it, and someone cared enough to tell us. Why can't we care enough for someone else? A friend, a coworker, a neighbor? We need to be a witness for Jesus. As we close, I'm going to close with this illustration. If everyone can just look down, close your eyes. If you look at your feet or just look down, I'm just going to use this as an illustration. I'm going to bring some people up to this platform. The first person I'm going to bring up is a cashier who works at your nearest grocery store. That's the first person. Second person I'm going to bring up is a neighbor or an elderly person walking their dog down the street that you pass by as you're going back home. Here's the third person. Someone who works at a restaurant taking your order in the drive-thru or inside. These are the people that I brought up to this platform. You can look this way now. Because obviously no one is here. But these people that I just mentioned are people that God puts us in their paths every single day. And we have an opportunity to witness to them, to share the gospel with them. And so many times we are so busy with our schedules, we are so busy with our shopping list, we are so busy with what we have to do, that it's so easy to forget that these people are the people that God has called us to witness to and to share the gospel with. How should they hear without a preacher? So many times we get distracted or we get so busy with our agenda that we forget God's agenda. And that is that everyone to repent. What better way to put in practice of being a witness for Christ than to invite people for our vacation Bible school? The gospel will be given. And we're praying by faith that kids and families will come and get saved. But it starts with us being a good witness for Christ. So the question I have for you this evening is, how is your witness for Christ? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. I feel like we just need a time to talk to God. And there's someone who you are thinking of right now, a neighbor, a friend, someone that maybe God has placed them in your path for a specific reason. That job that you're in, whatever God is having you to do, there's a purpose for that. And God has given us a command to go. Maybe there's someone that you can think of who needs the gospel, and they're waiting for you. They all may not accept, they all may not believe. But praise the Lord that some may accept Jesus Christ. And this is a command that we have been given from God. So just take a moment and pray that, God, help me to be a better witness. Help me to share the good news of the gospel that someone cared enough for me, and I need to share it with someone else. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather tonight. Dear God, I pray that we would not be guilty of not noticing. That we wouldn't be guilty of just passing people by without at least sharing the gospel with them or inviting them to church. I pray that you would help each and every one of us to be a better witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen.